Which gave you rolled oats or porridge, as it were, and which is a good made a good breakfast, whether Americans didn't. The general opinion was the Canadian parcel was the best. We never got one, so
That's what I've been told.
Yeah, the Canadians had the best selection, but the quality, I mean, was
tended being maybe not quite there.
No, I think the quality of all the three parcels were very good.
And just to reiterate, of course, in your training, you're not trained at all or in terms of how to resist interrogation or how to play along with that.
Well, by law, international law, your number, rank, and name. You don't have to tell them anything else. If they want to, I guess they could force you into a little more than that.
Put the thumb screw.
Yes, I imagine.
What about at this camp? Was there, as you say, it wasn't as POW camps went. There was no work, heavy labor required of the inmates. But I'm wondering, despite that, was there an escape committee, as far as you know, clandestine planning?
Not that I was aware of that initial camp. Later on, we moved in. This was a temporary one, and we moved just down the road a bit, and it was a permanent one. And there was a committee there. In fact, my bomb aimer, he was in another camp originally, and he came into our camp and joined the escape one. And I was aware of it and how they were doing, and a lot were.
I would imagine
getting rid of the dirt that they had to dig up and things like that.
I'd imagine to be selected for it too was a fairly iffy proposition too. Yeah. They would be concerned about German agents.
I think a lot of them were adventuresome type, perhaps not married, you know, or have a family or wife waiting for them back in their home country. So maybe not even a father or mother, you know. But they're a breed apart.
Yeah, I gather. I'm just wondering, you sometimes hear stories in books and films and whatnot that occasionally it was considered to be a prisoner's duty to try to escape.
It is, yes.
Did you have that feeling as well, or was that sort of
feeling? Not really, because first of all, been shot down at that particular time, and the war was going very well for us. The general opinion was that we would be home by Christmas.
So better to just sit tight.
That was only another couple of months. On a serious basis, it didn't enter our minds. Then when Christmas came, the weather was very, very cold, like our prairies. And the Russian offensive started just after the new year, and they weren't too far from us. And the general opinion was that we'd be moving. And so it did happen around the 20th, I think, of January, and we were on the forced march.
Right.
And from then, it's obvious we could have escaped.
Sure.
But some of the ones that did ended up with the Russian army, and they were made to fight for a while, and they didn't get back to England until after we did.
Right.
So it didn't serve the purpose. On the march, the more on the march, the more the Germans were concerned about us escaping too. And they had more guards on it, I think.
Yeah.
And they suffered it like we did.
That sort of led me to my next question. What about the treatment at the hands of the guards, generally speaking?
Well, yes, they had their orders, and we resisted. And when I say we as a group resist, getting up at 4 a.m. as much as we could, and taking a little longer rest periods on the walk march, and the shooting into a hay loft or something like that to get you out. Whether they aimed or not, it's hard to say. But I felt, under the condition, the Germans did as good a job almost as they could.
And I understand quite a few of the guards, too, were a little older, perhaps veterans of the First War, and they would tend to be less maybe trigger-happy than a younger person.
The first night out, or the second night out, quite a few of them did escape. And as I say, they didn't get back to England much before I did and me.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned a few moments ago, in roughly the end of January 1945, you were on the march, presumably westwards, away from the Russian mm-hmm. Russian army. And I'm wondering, in as much as it by that time is becoming obvious that Germany is going to lose the war, what is the feeling amongst the prisoners? What were your feelings about the fact that it looked like you were going to be liberated by the Russians?
Yeah. Well, we didn't know what to expect. There are allies, but...
allies of convenience.
Yeah, convenience. Right. So the language problem would come in, and a lot of the fellas had old dilapidated uniforms, and we didn't know really what to expect. Mm-hmm. And the Germans were almost insistent that we don't go into their hands, into the Russian hands.
Why?
I don't know their reasoning. Mm-hmm.
Something to do with maybe perhaps keeping you as a hostage for a bargaining
chip? Yeah, well, yes. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to be taken by the Russians either.
No.
And so the further west we went, they went. Mm-hmm.
I would imagine the closer the Russians came, too, I would imagine you would be starting to notice a few German guards missing each day.
No, not particularly, because we were in a compound, mm-hmm. and you never necessarily saw the same one twice. You know, they were all in communal farm holdings, and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. were scattered among all the buildings or any shelter you could find. Pig pens, haylofts, mangers, whatever.
Ultimately, how were you treated? How did you find your treatment at the hands of the Russians once they did, in effect, liberate?
Well, they liberated. The camp we arrived at after our march, south Luckenwald, south of Berlin, mm-hmm. the Russians liberated us on Good Friday, and that's it, like the end, towards the end of April. Mm-hmm. And they kept us prisoners because they didn't think we were all necessarily all British. They thought maybe some of the Germans might have been infiltrated, or civilians. So they wouldn't hand us over to the Americans. And the our top officer went back to one of the generals, of the Russian generals, and still wouldn't let us go. So finally, on the morning of VE Day, there was several lorries of Americans waiting for us. So we broke camp about 6 in the morning and got to them.
So in effect you escaped.
Escaped from this camp. But the Russians blocked us from going anywhere. We tried to get over the Elbe River to Magdeburg, and every once in a while we were stopped and rerouted, and no particular reason, mm-hmm. you know, until later on in the day, and the Russians were drinking, celebrating the VE Day, and at one spot we were allowed to go through and got onto the riverbank and made communication to the Americans, and they come over and got us. Mm-hmm. And that was late at night, and we left early in the morning.
And presumably they expedited your return back to England.
Yes, and from then it was just a matter of delousing us and feeding us and bedding us and sending us to Brussels and home.
Mm-hmm. Somebody was telling me that during the delousing that their DDT was being used. Is that, I find that, I guess the effects of that chemical weren't known at the time.
Oh, no, no.
But
well,
it's
like most things, if it's a one-shot deal, the body seems to react unless it's very bad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they've been using it for years.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to, right at the moment, I could not think of anybody that had lice. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, if you did, you might have forgotten about it. You know, it's such a passing thing.
Throughout this ordeal of going from camp to camp, were you able to maintain contact with your crew from your plane?
Not really. They were on the same march, but you soon get separated. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't recall them in the last camp, mm-hmm. but I must have seen them, but I don't recall it.
Mm-hmm. Final question here, and this is something I think most people are interested in. How, as a return, particularly not only as a returned veteran, but as a returned POW, how did you respond or adjust to peace all of a sudden? For the past 3.5-4 years, your lifestyle is fairly regimented. You know basically where you're going to be from month to month. And I know a lot of veterans had trouble readjusting. And I'm just wondering how you were affected.
Honestly, don't think it did. It must have changed. I was a change when I come back. You know, you wait for 3 years, everybody changes. I would come home and went to work. I got demobbed. I applied to go over on the Far East War, but it was soon over in August. And then I started back. I started work in September, and there was just a 9-to-5 job.
So for you, the transition was fairly smooth.
Yeah, smooth and no problem that I can recall.
Looking back upon the experience now, particularly the time when you were incarcerated, was there what do you think you took away from that? What memories?
First one to appreciate what I've got now. And there's very seldom do I have a meal that I don't think back to
when you didn't.
Now in the prison camp until the march, your food was not a problem, but once you started to move, it was a problem. And nobody knows what hunger is until you haven't eaten but a handful of food in a day and march for two. Each march was at least 15 miles a day. And that's a lot.
And of course, you're not that's probably the clothed as
no, well as and it's dead of winter, blizzards, and mostly at night, so we wouldn't be detected by the Russian planes. Getting bedded down at 2 or 3 in the morning is not very good. And after a long. You cry, it's so cold, you cry almost to get. So, in that respect, when I eat a meal, I'm very, very thankful that I have the food and the food that you like and your selection. Most people don't, they just take it for granted.
Right. You know, well, particularly people, of course, not only having not and that experience, funny. But war itself.
More off the record than on the record. Can it be erased?
Oh, sure, I think we can do something.
No, I'd say it's just normal on everyday life that when you have a full belly, as it were, a lot of your thoughts might go back to women and sex.
That's natural, sure.
But when you're hungry...
That's the overriding...
It's nothing matter, nothing at all.
Yeah.
But food.
Right.
We've seen men get into a fisticuffs
over a
slice of bread or half a slice of bread, thinking they're being cheated. So, and then near the end, when we were getting better fed, the subject soon changed. Food wasn't the problem then.
Sure, it dropped down a little bit.
You had enough. It wasn't steak and potatoes, but it was enough, and your belly was full, so you no longer thought of food.
But what about, and I guess you took away quite a sense of camaraderie or with your fellow POWs, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Mine were younger than myself, and we got separated, and as I say, I never saw them again. I contacted the pilot after the war, and then he got married and moved, and one reason or another,
drifted apart. Was there also maybe in the back of your mind, perhaps more subconsciously than consciously, the feeling that, you know, you first of all, you're a bomber crew with a good chance of getting shot down, then you ultimately do and become a POW. Maybe the feeling of maybe not wanting to get to know somebody too well because of the fact that the chances of survival were not necessarily great.
It could be that, but who envisioned that travel would be like it developed in Canada or in the world, where you'd get on a plane and you're over there in 8 hours. But you'd never see them again. And you don't have very much in common.
Right.
Your lifestyle is completely different than their friends, and what they do is no bearing on what you do. Mm-hmm. So it is quite natural, I think, to drift apart. Since air travel and retirement comes into it, I've been back twice now and have failed to contact any, although I've put an ad was put in the paper or a notice for anybody in the crew.
What?
But no answer.
Just and finally, one final question, because I think people would be curious, again, as a returned POW, what were your feelings towards the German, first of all, I guess initially towards your captors, towards the guards and whatnot? Yeah. Do you to this day sort of look upon them doing their job, or do you?
Well, yes. Because when I got shot down, you know, Paris had fallen, and the war was going very well for us. So there wasn't that haughtiness to them that you expect to find. They did their job as military police, as it were, or commandant and their guards. They were older ones. They'd been out to America and that, and they seemed to be your friend, but you know they weren't, you know. They were bribed and
okay, Mr. Gibbons is a popular man when you're back from the telephone call. We're just about finished here, but we were talking about the fact that you harbored basically no ill feelings.
No ill feelings, no. I'm sure that our boys were treated very badly, some in the beginning of the war, or they caused trouble. And so I can well imagine why some of them are very bitter, but my personal experience, I had nothing on that.
That's great. Mr. Gibbons, then on behalf of the University of Victoria History Department and the Archives section, we thank you very much for taking part in the program.
Thank you.